So let's think about making payment to our subcontractors. The first point is that the scheme only applies to self-employed workers. It doesn't apply to employees or to casual labour employees. It doesn't apply to contracts of employment. So before making the first payment, the contractor should check that any individual worker is genuinely self-employed in the work that they do for the business. Before making the first payment, the contractor must verify the subcontractor's payment status. As I've said already, the scheme is a tax deduction scheme, and we now have two rates of tax, the 20% standard rate for registered subcontractors and the 30% rate if the subcontractor either is not registered or, when he's verified, he doesn't match on the revenue system. So subcontractors have got to be verified before the first payment is made to them. Verified to decide how to pay them, whether to pay them gross, no deduction, or pay them under deduction of 20 or 30%. The advice has to be to verify when the contract or the work is agreed, not to leave it until the last moment to the day that they're meant to be paid. So obtain subcontractor details as soon as possible, making sure we've got the correct name, the unique tax reference number, a company registration number if it's a company, or a national insurance number if it's an individual. But vitally, verify the subcontractor before making that first payment. It is very important. The monthly return declaration states that every subcontractor included on this return and any continuation sheets has either been verified with HMRC or has been included in previous CIS returns in this or the previous two tax years. So subcontractor verification is a must, it's not optional. Except, of course, there's no need to verify subcontractors that have already been paid and used in the current tax year and therefore included on a CIS return, or indeed paid in the two previous tax years. But remember, there's penalties for not verifying subcontractors. How do we do it? It's actually quite easy. A subcontractor engaged for the first time in October 2008 would have to be verified before making the first payment because they were engaged for the first time. If a subcontractor was re-engaged in October 2008 and they were last paid in October 2006, and when they were last paid, and this is before the new scheme started, they had a valid certificate. Because it's within 2 years and with a valid certificate, we wouldn't have to verify. But of course, if we had that subcontractor last used within the 2 year period, but we don't know how they were paid under the new scheme because their certificate expired before the new scheme came in, we'd have to verify. And really the message to all of our clients has to be, if in doubt, verify them. There's no penalty for verifying them more than once. How do we verify them? Well, a lot of my clients find it easier to do it by telephone. Again, it's the 0845 366 7899 number. Telephone, choose the option which allows for verification, and generally you can verify up to 10 subcontractors at one time. If you have a new site and you have 20 subcontractors being started on the site, you're going to have to telephone twice. But again, it's fairly easy. It's very important to make a note of the call. The other option is to do it on the internet. Revenue website, www.hmrc.gov.uk/newsciz. You can do it using the revenue software. You can use third-party software. Or for big contractors, you can use the electronic data interchange. But again, my advice is use the telephone helpline if you're having problems with online verification. HMRC will then check the subcontractor's registration. They'll tell the contractor what rate of deduction, if there is to be a deduction. If they confirm gross payment status, or if they tell us to deduct at the standard rate, we should either print a copy of the online notification if we've done it online, or we must record a note of the telephone details provided by HMRC. My advice is that if HMRC says it's a 30% deduction, we should go back to the subcontractor and check that we've got the right information. Because too often 30% has been deducted when it wasn't necessary. If 30% does come up and the information is right, perhaps it means that it's a new subcontractor. Perhaps someone who was an apprentice has become self-employed. But that should be checked out. And very importantly, we have to note the verification number, because that will have to go on the monthly return if 30% is deducted. Every time the revenue will give a verification number, and that number needs to be recorded. If the subcontractor information doesn't match, the verification number will probably have a letter or two added at the end. So we might have a verification number of V00123456 7, but if it doesn't match, it could then be oblique A. It's to make it a unique number for that individual subcontractor. Once we've verified them, we continue to pay them the same way, gross or 20% or 30%, until HMRC tells us differently. Very importantly, when we're making payments under deduction, we don't have to make a deduction from everything paid to the subcontractor. There's no requirement to deduct from the cost of materials, no requirement to deduct from the VAT element, if there is VAT, no requirement to deduct from plan tire, if it's pure plan tire, but be careful, because if it's plan tire with labour, then a deduction would be required. No deduction for the cost of fuel, which is for machinery, as opposed to for travel. And if the contractors pay in the Construction Industry Training Board levy, there's no deduction from that element. But what a deduction must be made from would be any payment for labour, any payment for travel and subsistence, and any payment which is a profit element. I would warn everyone now that HMRC are looking at this much more closely, and it's a real feature in the HMRC employer compliance and CIS inspections that they're carrying out. Particularly the point about the cost of materials. I all too often see that the cost of materials is shown as 50% or even as high as 90%, but does that stack up? Is it justified? On the CPD courses, I use an example. Tony invoiced £800. It says 90% materials, but there's no support in documentation or explanation. Well, the guidance from HMRC says that the contractor can ask for evidence of the cost. It says that the contractor must make a fair estimate of the cost if the subcontractor doesn't provide the evidence. And again, the guidance says the contractor must always check, if possible, that materials are not overstated. We need to warn our clients that the revenue are looking at this. They might ask for an explanation. So what would we do in a case like Tony's? Invoice, £800, 90% materials. Do we deduct 20% of the £800? Not necessarily. If we can be satisfied that materials were probably, let's make it up, probably £200, we deduct from the reasonable estimate that we would make. But just be careful. I'm aware of some contractors who are foolishly just making up a figure for materials that doesn't exist. That's stupid, and that could prove to be very costly. So what about gross payments? Well, first of all, we don't have to deduct from any payments to gross paid subcontractors. We don't have to analyse the labour and material costs. We only have to report on the return the gross payment, but exclude in any VAT charge. So we record only the payment and the date made. There's no statutory requirement to issue a payment statement to the subcontractor. We should aggregate all payments made within the tax month. So, another example from the CPD course, Dave invoices £5,000 plus VAT of £875. His VAT shows us that there's materials of £2,000 and travel of £250. Well, if Dave was a new subcontractor, because he's an individual, we'd check that he was self-employed. We'd verify him, and then we'd pay him £5,875, £5,000, including the materials and travel, plus VAT. His gross paid, we don't have to deduct anything. The return will simply show a gross payment of £5,000. It doesn't show the VAT. Now, one of the sore points, one of the problem areas 18 months on, that AAT members and others are talking to me about. The rule is quite clear. Contractors must provide a written statement to every subcontractor paid under deduction. and they must provide that statement within 14 days of the end of the tax month. OK, there's no official form which replaces the old SIS 25 voucher. But that's tough. At the end of the day, whether it's on headed note paper, whether it's on plain paper, and that's not advisable, a statement has got to be given to the subcontractor. They can be issued once a month or once a week if payments made weekly. But my advice is to issue them once a month, to issue them round about the time that the SIS 300 monthly return is being sent out, and to make a proper note of the fact that the statement has been sent to the subcontractor. A lot of subcontractors are coming back later on saying they didn't get a statement, probably because they've lost it, don't know what they did with it. It's important for our contractor clients to keep a note, a record of the fact that they've issued the statements to subcontractors. Some of you may want to keep copies, but that may involve a lot of paper. But the style of the statement to go out, contractor can choose. You can have a look at Appendix E in the booklet SIS 340. It's got an example in there. But the key thing is it's got to have the contractor's name and reference number and the tax month. So the last tax month, say, from the 6th of October to the 5th of November, the October return, with a statement that will be required then by the 19th of November. It's got to show the subcontractor's name, the subcontractor's unique tax reference number, and the payment details. As my payment with Dave, if he'd been paid under deduction, it would have been £5,000, but we'd have shown the payment for materials of £2,000 separately, no deduction from that, but we would have deducted from the £3,000, including the £250 travel. It's got to show a personal verification number on the payment statement, but only if the subcontractor is paid under the 30% higher rate of deduction. We could include additional information on there, information about the VAT, or indeed any other information. I think it's also important that when these payment statements are sent out to the subcontractors, they probably should have a bold heading on there of payment statement, do not destroy, tax statement, something to make it clear to the subcontractor that they need to keep them safe. Now, in terms of payment status of subcontractors, what lots of you out there will now be seeing is that the notification of changes are coming through from HMRC. I said earlier on that we had something like 17,396 that failed the compliance test and will have lost their gross payment status. So there's a lot of these notices coming out now. Because the key point is there's no more renewal application for gross payment as we used to have with exemption certificates. But gross payment status is not forever. It'll be retained until it's removed by the revenue. Very important under the new scheme. Regulation 6 requires HMRC to notify a contractor that a subcontractor's payment status has changed, and it allows a contractor to assume that gross payment or standard rate deduction continues until they've been notified. HMRC are supposed to notify the subcontractors first, although I've seen one or two cases where the subcontractor has found out from their customer, their contractor, not from the revenue. This is perhaps notifications getting lost in the post. But the subcontractors are supposed to have 90 days notice. They'll be given reasons for the change, and I'm finding that very often it's because they haven't paid the tax on time. Subcontractors can appeal against the decision, and you really should be saying to clients to consider carefully, is this a mistake by the revenue? Can we appeal? Do we want to appeal to delay the dreaded day to give us time to talk to our customers about the deductions? Contractors will be notified normally after 55 days, or it would be longer if it's after the appeal process has been completed. After they've been notified, contractors have 30 days after which they must make payments and a deduction. But contractors will not have to stop a payment run that's already in